Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, Elaine, victorious. Over the sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, Elaine, victorious.
It's my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. I want to kick off this year with kind of stir you up as best I can. I think if people come to church that they ought to leave more hope-filled, more power-packed, more stirred up, more rip out the devil's esophagus and beat him over the head with it, ready. Than when they came in. I think if you go to church and you go out somber and sorrowful, that something went wrong, because we are sent by Jesus as a church to bring good news. And in any situation the Lord faced, Jesus, there was good news and good results and good. Now, do we have faith disappointments? I know I have. But if we do, we pick ourselves right back up and say, okay, Lord, I know you're faithful. I don't know what happened there. I don't demand an explanation. When we get to heaven, we can talk about it. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to continue to believe you for your best, to stand on your promises, to walk in my covenant that you have provided for me, and just know that I am victorious in Christ. Are y'all glad? I'm kind of excited. I really am. So I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. And we're going to talk about today, and the title of my message is actually, Talk to the Rock. Talk to the Rock. Now, there's a great Bible story that we're going to look at, where God's people were wandering in the wilderness. They had been delivered from slavery and bondage, and they were moving toward the fullness of what God had for them, their own land flowing with milk and honey. But sometimes God has to do a work in us before he does a work for us. And so they're kind of in that process. And having been enslaved and all of their dignity stripped from them for hundreds of years, they're trying to find their way to believing that God is into me, he likes me, and he wants to do things for me. It was hard for them to grasp. Are you with me? Yeah. And so it is important for us to realize that the enemy would love to strip away our individual dignity and to make us think we're just part of the herd. But God wants to express himself to each of us uniquely in our individual lives. And then we walk together in that blessing as a group. We celebrate. When one rejoices, we rejoice with them. If one is hurting, we lift them up and surround them with faith and love. And so that's the beautiful part of a church family, that we're all walking our own walk with God, but then we join together to encourage one another.
Amen.
Oh, it's good to be here. I'm never happier than when I'm with you. Yeah, the rest of the week is all good and fine and good things, necessary things, and the stuff, you know, but this is the deal here. This is the shazaza, whatever that means. I hope it's not a bad word. Before we look here at this passage in Exodus chapter 17, I want you to know that what you don't know can hurt you. And it is important that we are people of the Word and that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, which he wants to do, and lead us and guide us into all truth and reveal things to come. That's what Jesus was so passionate about, the Holy Spirit's ministry. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will show you things to come. I'm into that. We'll bring things to your remembrance. How many of you know that's, you know, you can remember every word to a song in 1963, but you can't remember what you went into the kitchen for. Yeah. He'll bring things to your remembrance. Don't laugh, Dennis. And he'll show you things to come. He will lead us into all truth. So it's so exciting that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. And the primary way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through the Word. So let's be people of the Word. Let's be people that let God speak to us in many ways, but primarily through the Word of God. And so it's what you don't know can be hindrance to you. So I've shared these stories before, but I want to hear them again myself, because the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it's my testimony. I want to hear it, so I'm going to say it if you don't like it. Now, several years ago, before we built this building, we were in a building in Cathedral City over on Kiley Road. It was owned by the Southern California Gas Company, and we had rented that building, and it was the main sanctuary had formerly been the bay where they fixed the Southern California gas trucks. And so had a big roll-up door, which we were not allowed to take out. And when the wind would blow, it would rattle. And it was a great, great experience. And we were glad to be here when we built this. And so we were there for a few years. And when we moved into that building, there was no air conditioning. And they had swamp coolers, but there was no air conditioning in that end of the building. So we approached the gas company and said, could we, in lieu of rent, could we, for a month or two, could we put some air conditioning units on the sanctuary end of the building, on the other part where the children met and the bookstore and so on. That had been offices, so it was air-conditioned, but not the garage. So they agreed to that very graciously, and we put air-conditioning units on the garage. And so, thankfully, by the time the summer came, we had air conditioning. And so then we went through the summer months, and winter came around, and it got so cold. And the man in the church, John Reese at that time, was a general contractor, and he was the one that installed the air conditioning units. And so we were very happy and had two big units on there. And man, we just turned that thing on, and it was awesome. Cold is good. And winter time came, and it got kind of cold in that it was kind of a slump stone building and kind of cold and didn't retain heat very well. And so it was so cold, I thought, well, this is not going to be good. So right across the street from that building was an equipment rental company. So I went over there and I rented a couple of those construction site heaters, kerosene thing and torpedo, I think they called them. It looked like kind of like a torpedo. And I fired those babies up and heated that building, and the fumes were just overwhelming. I mean, it's enclosed. It's not like it was outside. It's kind of designed more for outside. And I mean, you needed a gas mask to come to church. It was horrible. And people were bringing their blankets because it was so cold, and it was horrible. And really, it's a miracle someone didn't, from the fumes. And so, but we didn't have more funerals that time of year, but because it was bad, it was bad. But we're doing the best we could to take the chill off, And so that went on for a couple weeks. And the third week, John Reese, who'd been on vacation somewhere, came home and he saw those things, those construction heater things, and he said, "What in the world are those doing in here?" And I said, "The heat." I said, "It's cold." And he said, "Follow me." He was a little sarcastic about it, I must admit. And he took me over to the thermostat, and he went, "Those are heat pumps," he said. I never heard of a heat pump. What that mean? I'm born and raised in a cornfield. We didn't have heat pumps. You got heat, you got your furnace, and you got your air conditioner. And but here we have heat pumps that do both. And so he clicked the little switch over to heat, and the heat started flowing into the room, and we could turn in our gas masks, and we could. But the point is, what you don't know can hurt you, and I almost killed the whole church with the torpedoes. And that is not a parable. It really did happen. I remember when I was a boy, somehow I heard my parents talking about buying their first home, and my dad's dad, my grandfather, was a medical doctor, and I heard them say, when you're little, you absorb little things and hear parts of things, and so I had heard my parents talk about when they bought their first home that my grandfather had helped them and loaned them money for a down payment. And so in my mind growing up, I knew my dad was a fireman, not a doctor, and so I thought, well, he would never be able to help me with a down payment on a home. So in my mind, I can't tell you how real this was in my world, that I knew that I would never own my own home. I was just I was sure of it, that I would be a renter and that I would never own my own home. Because in my mind, in order to buy a home, you have to have someone who can help you with the down payment. I didn't even think about saving up a down payment or any other ways of getting a down payment or FHA loan. You know, I didn't know anything about that. I just had relegated myself to being a renter. Y'all with me? Then I went to a school in Oklahoma called Rhema Bible Training Center, where they started telling me things like, hey, your job is not your source. Your parents are not your source. The government is not your source. God is your source. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and all the silver and all the gold are his, and the earth is his and the fullness thereof. So whatever you need to fulfill your destiny, and I proclaim this over you, whatever you need to fulfill your purpose on this planet, whatever you need to accomplish what God has carved out for you and for me to accomplish, that the resources to do that, financial resources, equipment, airplanes, cars, lands, houses, whatever it is, filet mignon, whatever it is you need, God is the owner of it and he can provide it. So I changed my mind about being a renter. And have probably bought and sold dozens of homes. Part of how, in the past at least, God has provided. And so that's exciting. So I would see just never. So what I didn't know was hindering me. What I didn't know was causing me to relegate myself to a standard of living that was not God's mind. Are you with me? All right, so I encourage you to be a person of the word, because what you don't know can hinder you. So find out that there's a little switch on the thermostat that turns from air conditioning to heat, and that God is your source. And are you with me? All right, Exodus chapter 17, this great story of God's people through the wilderness on their way to their promised land. And every one of us in this room have a promise from heaven that we should be pursuing and moving toward. Are you here? And that takes faith. And so we move and we live. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being, and we move that way by faith. And so talking to the rock. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Zin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Everyone say, no water.
No water.
Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why do you chide with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? For the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle? Moses, you've brought us here to kill us with thirst. Pastor, that's what you're up to. Moses cried to the Lord, saying, what shall I do for this people? They're almost ready to kill me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you the elders of Israel and your rod and smote the river and take it in your hand and go. Behold, I'll stand before you upon the rock of Horeb, and you shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of the rock, and the people will drink. And Moses did it in the sight of the elders of Israel. So God instructs Moses the first time here at Meribah and tells the people are thirsty. They're complaining. They're about to kill their pastor. And I can relate with Moses on that. So been there. And God bless, you know, angry people. God gives him instruction. He said, take your stick that we've worked with, Moses. You know, Moses started out his whole ministry with a stick. And I don't know what you've got in your hand, but it is sufficient if you'll surrender it to God. It is sufficient to lead you forward. I don't have this and I don't have that. And God said, what do you have? And Moses said, I got me a stick. Well, throw your stick down, Moses, and let's see. And so it turned to a serpent, picked it up. It turned to a staff again. And so God worked with Moses and his stick. And so he said, take your stick out there, Moses, and hit the rock, and water's going to come out of the rock. So he did that, and water came out, and the people were happy for a moment. In Numbers chapter 20, they came after some more of their journey back to that same place because they kind of wandered in circles for a while. And the beautiful thing about our walk with God is we never fail the test. God gives no F's, but we do get to keep coming back around till we pass. Are you here? He's so gracious. Numbers chapter 20, if you have your Bible there, Numbers chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin. There we are again, the first month, the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron. Here we are one more time. The people chode with Moses, saying, would to God that we had died with our brethren before the Lord. We wish we had died in slavery. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord to this wilderness that we and our cattle will die here? And therefore you have made us come up out of Egypt. Isn't that amazing? You made us come out of Egypt. You made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place. It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod. Here we go. He's going to go with his stick and gather the assembly together, Aaron, your brother, and speak to the rock. Everyone say, speak to the rock.
Speak to the rock.
Now, this is a different instruction that Moses is receiving than the instruction he received last time. He said, take your stick and smite the rock. But now he's saying, Moses, take your stick, but speak to the rock. Gather the assembly together and take your stick and speak to the rock. And before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, and so shall you give to the congregation and to their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as God had commanded him. So far, so good. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together, right on target. And he said unto them, you rebels! So, I've been there. Get angry, aggravated with people. They want to stone you, and you would like to return the favor. You rebels, that's what he said. Do I have to fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand instead of lifting up his voice. He lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, because you did not believe me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land that I have given them. So here God's great leader Moses cost himself the joy of leading the people into that which he had envisioned all of his life. You don't get to go in. Now God did in his grace let him see from a mountaintop off into the promised land, but he didn't get to set foot in it and didn't get to lead the people in. Why? Because he took his stick and hit the rock rather than speak to the rock. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And here we understand the significance of the smitten rock. The Apostle Paul, writing here in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under a cloud, speaking of the Exodus. They were under a cloud, and they all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat that same spiritual meat. You remember the manna that would come every day and supernatural provision for God's people. And verse 4 says, and they did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So in the Old Testament, Christ is concealed, and in the New Testament, Christ is revealed, but we can look back because we understand who Jesus is and God's incredible plan, and we can look back in the Old Testament scriptures and we can see how he was there all along, concealed a little bit, but that rock was Christ. And I have good news for you. The rock was smitten 2,000 years ago on the cross for you and for me, and the penalty of sin was paid, and provision for our inheritance was provided, and the rock has been smitten, so we don't have to ask God to smite him again. Oh, God, do something. Oh, God. We must speak to the rock and declare who Jesus is. He doesn't have to go to the cross again. He doesn't have to be beaten again. He doesn't have to bleed and die again. He doesn't have to be spat upon again. That has been taken care of. The rock has been smitten. We don't need to go smite him some more. And we do that many times through our unbelief or our misunderstanding. And what we don't know can hinder us. So what I want you to know today as we begin 2016 is that the rock has been smitten and you and I are called to speak to the rock. Jesus, you're my Savior. Jesus, you're my healer. Not Jesus, oh, please heal me, do something. He's done it. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians that we are, I'm sorry, in, yeah, 2 Corinthians 4:13, that we believe, therefore we speak because we're complete. Colossians 2:10 says we're complete in him. We're complete in him. We are complete in him. So we must speak to the rock. Lord, you are my peace. Lord, you're my righteousness. Lord, you're my redemption. Lord, you're my healer. You're my righteousness. All that he is to us, we speak of those things. Are you with me? Amen. Now, three little points here from that passage, and then I'm going to make some declarations. Number one, anger for 2016 won't work. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Anger is not helpful. Now, when I was younger, and I managed it very well, and you wouldn't maybe have thought that I was angry, but there was an underlying anger when I was a young man. I didn't really know what I was angry about, but I was just angry a lot. Later to come and do some great work with some great Christian therapists in a great place, realizing that I had a lot of anger because of issues from my childhood. And I have great parents, love my parents, honor my parents, wonderful mom and dad. And but early in my childhood, there was some painful stuff that led to my believing things about why I was significant in the world and why I even counted and why I mattered that were false information. And what you don't know can hurt you. And so I had this wrong information, and I was basing, and the motivation of my life was based on improper stuff. And because of that, I was angry. Are you all here?
Amen.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I hear you in the parking lot. In here, it's all up in here. You know, it's all hallelujah. But I know. I feel you. And I thankfully, I love the song about not holding any, you know, withholding nothing, and the chains are broken, and some great songs that we sang this morning. But I had to be helped with that. Are you all here?
Yes.
So anger, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So Moses' anger was to his detriment. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you and wants to help me to be motivated by the right things. Love is a great motivation. Jesus was moved with compassion. And if we can let that become the driving force, not our own significance being the driving force of our lives, or not having to prove something to someone who we think we need their approval somehow. Yeah, I'm going to show, and they may be dead and gone for 50 years, but we're going to show them. And that kind of motivate, are you with me? And that happens all the time. That can't be the engine that drives our behavior. But compassion is a great motivator, and so other things, and so anger won't work. Number two, we have to be delivered from the mindset of, well, I've just always done it that way. Did this go off? I don't know. I said we have to be delivered from that kind of thinking that, well, that's just how it's always been. That's how I've always been. That's how we've always done it. That's how. And Moses just goes out there with a stick and hits it again because that's how we did it last time. That's how we did it last year. That's how we did it the last circumstance. And we have to say, okay, Lord, I want to be led fresh, leading from the Holy Spirit this time. Maybe I have an exact same circumstance before me, which Moses did. That the same place, at the same rock, the same people, same whining, complaining, moaning, groaning. We're thirsty. Why'd you bring us here to kill us? And our cattle and our stuff. We wish we'd have died or stayed in Egypt, stayed in slavery. We wish we'd have died back there at home, or at least, you know, whatever the memories were. Memories are funny things. And so Moses' attitude was, that's how we did it last time. But God wanted to do it differently this time. And he wants to do 2016 with us differently, possibly, than we did 2012 or 13 or 14. Are you with me? And so it is important for us to say, okay, Lord, I want a fresh word from you. I'm not just going to rely on, we've always done it that way. That's how we've always done it. So what? And number three, we learn from this story that we have to talk to the rock. Have to talk to the rock. Jesus taught us that, Mark 11, he talked to a fig tree. Can you imagine? We have a tree anywhere. So, like, this is the tree. And he made sure his disciples were looking and seeing and hearing. And the fig tree had no fruit. And he said, now no one's going to eat fig tree. No one's ever going to eat fruit from you ever again. And it says, and his disciples heard it. They came back the next day and there's the fig tree dried up at the roots. And his disciples were astonished as they said, Jesus, remember yesterday when you were talking to the fig tree? Remember Jesus? Yeah. Look, it's withered away. And then Jesus says, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. What in the world, Jesus, are you talking about? This is a fig tree that's dried up, and you talked to it yesterday. And then Jesus used that occasion to bring a great message on faith, and he went on to tell them, speak to the mountain. If you speak to this mountain and say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things that you say will come to pass, you can have whatever you say. Those are the words of Jesus. Fred Price didn't write that. Kenneth Hagin didn't pen those words. Those are the words of Jesus. And so Jesus taught us to talk to the mountain, to talk to the fig tree. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God took Ezekiel out in a vision, showed him a valley full of dry bones, many bones in this great valley. There were very dry, lots of bones. And he asked the question, can these bones live? And he gave the safe answer, Lord, thou knowest. And we all can give that answer, and that may be an old answer that we don't need for 2016. Lord, thou knowest. Well, the Lord knows. Well, the Lord knows. Well, he wants us to know. And so the Lord said, I want you to go out there, Ezekiel, and begin to talk to the bones. And say to the bones, bones, live. Dry bones, live. Can you imagine how foolish that must have felt, even in this vision for Ezekiel? And bones began to come together. So there are these skeletons standing. And then he said, prophesy and begin to speak skin and sinew and breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live. And so he said, I prophesied according as I was instructed. And we are taught all through Scripture to speak to God himself, began the whole thing. God said, and it was. And God said, let there be light. And God said, and so we have his nature. And he began the whole thing by speaking faith-filled words. All right, so here we go. You all ready? So I'm going to read verses of Scripture to you. So I give you something to say. You know, His word is to continually be in our mouth.
Amen.
This is so good. Okay, first of all, we all know the story of Job. Job and all the horrific pain that he suffered. But at the end, he was given double of all that was lost. He was given double. And then Job 36:11 says this, "If they listen and serve him, they complete their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness." So always remember, when you think like, I'm like Job, remember the end of the story. Remember the rest of the story, that he received double for his trouble. And here's the conclusion of the matter. If they listen and serve him, Job 36:11, they'll complete their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness. 1 John 4:4, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." 1 John 5:4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Romans chapter 8 says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No. "For your sake, we're killed all the day long, and you're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." Genesis chapter 12 talks about Abraham, and Galatians says, if we're Christ, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. So I want you to listen here what God says about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abraham," or Abram at that time, "get out of your country and away from your family and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you." Let me just encourage you that if God is leading you out of your comfort zone, get happy about it. Oh, but I know it's familiar here. I feel safe here. I've been here for a while. I know what to expect. I know how to kind of want to anticipate. But God wants to mess that up sometimes.
Yes.
Not to rob you of your peace, but to lead you in a new dynamic direction and fresh outpouring of his Spirit. And so he says to Abraham, hey, get out of your comfort zone. Get away from your connections. Get out from your father's friends and your father's house. Get out of there unto a land that I will show you. And even wouldn't even tell him where he's going. Well, where are we going? I'll get up and go, but where are we going? I'll show you. Just come on. And God says, and I will make of you a great nation. God wants to make something different of us than we presently are. I know it's hard to believe, but let me tell you, you can be improved on. That's a shocker. And I hate to lower the boom on you like the first Sunday of the year like that, but you can't. There is room for improvement. I'll make of you. I'll make of you. Remember the prodigal son? He came to his father and he demanded, give me. But after his wayward journey, he came back and said, Father, make me. Make me as one of your hired servants. He knew that the safest place in the world for him was in sweet connection and relationship with his heavenly father back at the ranch. And so he says, make me. Oh, that's a great cry, isn't it? Father, make me into who you want me to be. So he says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. That is God speaking to you, because if we're Christ, we're Abraham's seed, and we're heirs according to Abraham's promise, which is given right here. Here's Abraham's promise. I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to cause you to be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let me just tell you something. Wherever you go, it ought to result in blessing. Wherever you go, wherever you show up, wherever your presence is, it ought to turn the environment for better. Genesis 13, verse 1, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot, his nephew, with him. They went to the south, and Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold." And a lot of people just want to relegate those blessings that God wants to bring, like to Abraham, to those are spiritual blessings. Well, spiritual blessings in the form of gold and silver and cattle.
Yeah.
Very rich. Very rich. You know, if all the wealth of the entire world were distributed evenly, there'd be we'd all be worth $10 million. There's plenty of wealth. It's just you got to go get wisdom from God as to how to get your part. Yes. And do not allow yourself to think just get by kind of a deal. We'll talk more about that. Let's keep reading. Here we go. I'm going to finish this up. Abram went up out of Egypt. He was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, to the place where the tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and called on the name of the Lord, and Lot went with him, and their flocks and their herds and their tents. And the land was not able to bear them, because that they might dwell in the land together, for their substance was great. So not only was Abram blessed, but his nephew got blessed, and so they were so blessed they had to say, you go this way and I'll go that way, because it's just too much, and we're having some strife between our herdsmen and cat, and the livestock's getting mixed together, and so let's just go separate ways because we have too much blessing. Galatians chapter 3, as I quoted, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let me read to you Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of God. And in the word does he meditate day and night. So important to meditate on the word of God. And he, the meditator in the word, that doesn't walk in the way of the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, he's a word person, she's a word person, will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. Her leaf shall not wither, and whatever she does will prosper. Psalm 34:10, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Psalm 35, verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor my righteous cause. Let us say, that's for us, here's our assignment, let them say continually. We need to be speaking to the rock. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, and commit your way to the Lord, and trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Psalm 118, verse 25, the psalmist cries out, save now, I beseech you. Oh Lord, I beseech you, send now prosperity. Philippians chapter 4 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. This is from the message. This is good right here. This will change your whole year. If you can be delivered from being stingy, God can move in a whole new dimension. This is the truth. A stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop that will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. Because in the King James it says, God doesn't want us to give grudgingly or of necessity. Grudgingly, sob stories. We just don't know. I can't afford to give. I can't tithe. What would I do? Oh, I have to sell the boat. Yeah.
Sell the boat.
Let's be real. He says, think it over. Take your time and think it over. If you're stingy, that's kind of the harvest you're going to have. If you're lavish, that's the kind of harvest you're going to have. Figure it out. Think about it. And you go ahead and give what you want to give, so that will deliver you or protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there is not only enough for your needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. If we don't have a mindset of prosperity, Abraham's promise was, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to increase you, prosper you, and made him very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. If you have hang-ups about that, be delivered from them today, because God delights in your prosperity. We read the verse already. And does that happen overnight? Normally not. It's usually a good process. And God not only builds our financial wherewithal, but builds our character concurrently. Then you're quiet. Do I need to kick over some shrubs or something to get your attention? Are you here? You need to have a mindset of prosperity, not just so you can heap up a bunch of stuff for yourself. God wants you to be blessed. We need to have a mindset of prosperity so, like Abraham, we can be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And if you didn't know that, maybe you just prayed prayers like, Lord, just give me enough to pay this bill. You know. And you're not speaking to the rock. You're whining at the rock. You're hitting the rock. You're complaining about Moses. Man, that's good preaching. Shoot. I'm going to buy the CD myself. Exodus 15. Let's talk about healing a little bit. Exodus 15. Verse 26, God says, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, to do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases that I sent on the Egyptians. For God says, for I am the Lord that heals you. Exodus 23, 25, you must serve only the Lord your God. I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. I'll bless your bread and your water and take sickness from the midst of you, the King James says. Deuteronomy chapter 7, pardon me. You'll be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless. All of your livestock will bear young. The Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict those upon your enemies. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget the benefits. Don't forget the benefits. Don't forget the benefits. Forget not all the benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities. Aren't you glad? Who heals all of your diseases. I say amen. Who redeems our life from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you, Father, for your precious nature. And he satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107, verses 19 and 21, through 21. They cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of all their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Proverbs 4, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Isaiah 53, surely, speaking of Jesus, a prophecy, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so many times people will also relegate that was about spiritual healing and forgiveness. And Isaiah 53 was a prophecy about salvation. But look here in Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus in his earthly ministry, in Matthew 8 verses 16 and 17, it says, when evening was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed the sick, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So it's not talking about spiritual sicknesses. It's talking about people who are sick, and Jesus healed them. So to fulfill the Isaiah prophecy. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then finally, how that looks in our lives. All of that that God says about himself. God says, I am the God that healeth thee. I went one time to First Church of I am the God that makes you sick. I didn't want to stay around there very long. Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe. Not believers will follow these signs, but signs will follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils and speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And his disciples, you and I, his people, his followers, went forth and preached everywhere. Listen to these words. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. If we want the Lord to work with us, we have to speak to the rock. We have to preach. We have to speak. We have to say. We have to go. We have to tell. We have to declare. Yes. So I encourage you, and I conclude with this. I encourage you in 2016, like you never have before, to declare over yourself, to declare over your kids, to declare over your finances, to declare over your business, to declare over your physical being, to declare over your mind, to declare over your spirit man, to declare over this city, to declare over your church, not whining, not moaning, not complaining, not hitting, not hitting, not striking, not smiting, but declaring and speaking to the rock. The rock that followed them was Christ. He had been smitten on the cross 2,000 years ago. We have to speak his promises. We have to speak his heart. We have to speak his compassion. We have to speak his abundance. We have to speak his strength. We have to speak his anointing. We must speak to the rock. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for our time together today. Holy Spirit, take the words that were said and make them practical and bring to the recollection of every person under the sound of my voice today these words. Remind them and refresh them about this thing and help them not to be smiters of the rock or whiners and complainers at the rock, but to speak to the rock and watch your provision flow out in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.